The following is a song class given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Das Adhikari, recorded on December 20th, 2006 in New Govardhan, Australia.
In this song, he is hankering for that day when he can actually feel love of God. He is saying, Gorango bolite habe pulaka sharir. When, by chanting the name Goranga, will I feel shivering in my body? And then he says, Hari Hari bolite na yane babinya. And when, by chanting Hari Hari, will I have tears of love flowing down my face? So in this way, Narottam Das Thakur has given very, very nice songs that help us to understand what is bhakti. He goes on to explain that when I become free from all material desires, then I can understand what is the holy abode of the Lord, Sri Vrindavan Dham. Vishayachadiya. He's hankering for that day when all material desires will be finished, so that he can actually experience what is the holy abode of Lord Sri Krishna. And he can understand the conjugal loving affairs of Sri Sri Radha Krishna by following in the footsteps of the six Goswamis of Vrindavan. So this is part of the rich culture of India. If there is any place in the world where religion is the essential aspect of culture, that is India. Actually, the Indian culture goes back millions of years beyond the modern day recorded history. In the ancient Puranas, we have information that the kings of India, they ruled the entire earth. Did you know this was India formerly? Australia was part of India. Did you know that? This was part of India. It was ruled by the Indian kings in former time. But it is only the advent of Kali Yuga, 5,000 years ago, that the influence of the Indian kings gradually went down to the point where the Mughals came, the Britishers came, you see. So, the actual essence of Indian culture has not been lost. The whole essence of Indian civilization is fully present in Vedas. It is fully present. Especially Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. So all we have to do to capture, to re-enter into that Vedic culture, that pure Indian culture. All we have to do to recapture that pure Indian culture is to carefully study Bhagavad Gita. It is a simple thing. This is called Shabda Brahma. There is great transcendental potency in the words of Bhagavad Gita. It is called sound incarnation of God. Is it? The Lord fully manifests in His description, given in Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam. So, just as Lord Sri Krishna was present 5,000 years ago on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, he is present right now in the form of his transcendental instructions. So, if we will hear the words of Lord Sri Krishna, if we will meditate on the words of Lord Sri Krishna, if we will worship and obey the words of Lord Sri Krishna, then we will live in that pure Indian, that rich, pure Indian culture at every minute. And gradually, gradually, that wonderful Vedic culture will be restored all over this planet to relieve the suffering souls of this age of Kali. This is the soothing balm. This is the cooling moonshine. The mercy of Lord Sri Krishna in the form of Srimad Bhagavad Gita. Krishna is giving everything we need. Jnanam te hamsa vijnanam idam bhakshyam yasheshyatah yad gyatva neha bhuyo yad gyatva mama yasheshyate. What does Krishna say? He is telling Arjuna, I shall now reveal to you this knowledge, both phenomenal and numinous. Knowing this, nothing further shall remain for you to know. Chapter 7, Bhagavad Gita. Nowadays, what are the popular scriptures? Bible and Quran, isn't it? They're very popular. But what does the Bible say in the book of John? Christ says, I have more to tell you, but I'm not revealing it yet. That is stated directly in the Bible. There is more information, is not being given yet. In the Quranic literatures, there is a similar statement that there is more that has not yet been revealed. But what does Krishna say in Gita? I will now reveal this knowledge to you, beyond which there is nothing more to be known. So, even if we take the literatures, what they say about themselves, if we see what the Vedic literatures say about themselves, we see what the biblical literatures say about themselves, and the Quranic Muslim literatures, what they say about themselves. The biblical and Muslim literatures say there is something more, but the Vedas say it's all here. So anyone who has a good brain on their shoulders can easily understand. This is not bias. Well, because I am connected with Indian culture, I think it's the best. No, this is not bias. This is scientific. This is scholarly understanding. The scriptures themselves are saying what is their relative position of revealing the truth in full. The Bible says it's not all here. The Islamic literatures say it's not all here, but the Vedas say it's all here. Therefore, if one simply studies the Vedic wisdom very carefully, especially Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, if one studies the Vedic literature very carefully, then one will have all knowledge of religion. One will have perfect knowledge of religion. And then one can act in perfect harmony with God in all times, all places, and all circumstances. So someone may argue, well, that's a nice philosophy, but it's not practical because I have to earn a living in Australia. I have to get an education in Australia. How could I live in perfect harmony with God while I'm doing that? Someone may make the counter argument. But you know, Arjuna was not a sadhu, sitting in the forest and meditating. Was he? He was a working man. He was a professional man. He had a very high pressure job. You think working in XYZ Corporation is high pressure, or running a, you know, multi-million dollar business is high pressure. Look what Arjuna, where he was at. Battling it out on a battlefield with 640 million warriors. Tremendous, intense scene. And Arjuna, he wanted to walk away from it. It was just too much for him. But after hearing from Krishna, he understood, no, I must accept this as my duty, and the result must be offered to Krishna. When he took that position of surrender to the will of Krishna, doing it on behalf of the Lord, then he became a spiritually enlightened being. He became completely free from all lamentation. He became completely liberated from all illusion. He became completely free from confusion, from lethargy, from depression, from despondency, from bewilderment, all the negative things that afflicted him, that made him drop his bow like an impotent eunuch. Those things were all dissipated at the mercy of Krishna. So, do you think the Bhagavad Gita was merely spoken for Arjuna? No. Arjuna is an eternal associate of the Lord. Actually, he is eternally liberated living being. He does not require this message. But by the special arrangement of the Lord, Arjuna was put into this so-called bewildered position so that these words of wisdom could be spoken for whose benefit? Do you know whose benefit? Do you know whose benefit? For our benefit, because we are an illusion. Isn't it? Am I right or wrong? What do you say? Am I right or wrong? Don't know? All right. Yes, we are in a state of illusion. That's good. And what is that illusion? I am thinking I am male. You are thinking female. You see? I am thinking American. You are thinking this or that thing. You see? All mobile phones turned off. So, this is the great contribution of Krishna, that he is giving us the formula how to become completely liberated from all despondency, from all confusion, bewilderment. How to realize our true, eternal, spiritual, all-blissful, all-knowing spiritual nature, which is beyond this material body. This material body must suffer in different ways. It cannot avoid, isn't it? We have to take birth. Birth is painful. We have to get sick. Sickness is unpleasant. We have to get old. Who wants to become old? Have your senses go bad on you, your eyes, your ears, your sense organs, your heart, your lungs, so many problems. Who wants to get old? Who wants to die? But yet nature is forcing us. We don't want these things, but yet nature is pushing, you must do this, you must do this. No, I don't want to. No, you have to. The intelligent person asks, why do I have to undergo these things? I don't want them. You see. And it is enjoined in the Vedanta Sutra, Atato Brahma Jigyasa. Now you've got a human form. You must utilize it to understand who you are and what is the absolute truth. So while you're busy earning your living or getting educated, doing your household duties, whatever you may be doing in this world, that's all right. But while you're doing that, do not neglect the most important aspect, which is to awaken the self within. That's the most important thing. To awaken the self within. Why is it important to awaken the self within? Can anyone say?
Well, it's better than staying asleep.
Huh?
It's better than staying asleep.
It's better than staying Why? Asleep.
Well, it's much better to be awake.
Huh?
It's much better to be awake.
Why?
To realize the absolute truth.
What's the value, what's the benefit of doing that?
Gets you out of ignorance.
Hmm?
To get gets us out of ignorance.
Yeah. Well, what some people say, ignorance is bliss. You see, they'd rather say, no, let me stay in ignorance. I don't want knowledge. You know, ignorance is bliss.
Ignorance is knowledge is light.
Yeah.
And ignorance is darkness. And who wants to stay in
it? Well, the real thing is that someone may say that ignorance is bliss, but actually that bliss of ignorance is a suffering condition compared to the actual bliss of spiritual enlightenment. That's the answer. So, while we're engaged in our activities of this material existence, we should simultaneously become self-realized. That's the point. Simultaneously, we should cultivate self-realization. Because that will enable us to actually achieve happiness which is unlimited, which is not restricted or pinched by birth, death, old age, and disease. So anyway, the most essential thing is how we can tune in to that spiritual platform. And the most powerful means of doing that is kirtan, chanting. So we can have some kirtan. And that way we can all tune in. Sometimes if we go too long with philosophy, everybody starts, their minds start going here and there, thinking other, maybe there's something else to do. It's a little dry, you see, philosophy. But if we have some chanting, and that's some kirtan, then without, just by experiencing the power of the holy names of God, automatically we make progress. So now we'll have some kirtan.